So we're in this sermon series about experiencing God. If you're new with us here today, we're on our third message. But we look at this Bible study that Henry Blackaby came out. And if you're part of a small group, which many of you are, you're beginning to get a grasp of some of these ideas about how we experiencing God. God is always at work around us, we learned our first week. So God is at work everywhere, all the time. And we are invited to open our eyes to see what God is doing. And then last week we talked about at the heart of that experience of God is a relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. And so we're called into that intimacy, that relationship. About 2.5 years into seminary, this was some time ago, my finances for Cheryl and I were very tight. I had heard God's call. We believed together that God was calling me to enter seminary. I did it part-time so I could continue to work. God had provided me with this wonderful job that gave me all kinds of money that I was totally unqualified for, but, you know, God works in marvelous ways. And that lasted about a year, but then that job ended, and I was looking at going to be a pastor, an interim pastor at a little church in Renville. And my mentor pastor at the time said, this would be a great opportunity for you, Tim, to begin to learn that experience while you're in seminary, to gain the experience preaching and teaching and leading. And I thought, okay, that sounds good. How much does it pay? And he told me, and I said, oh, that isn't going to work. And he encouraged me that I should go ahead and take that step that God would provide. And I said, but what am I going to live on? And he just encouraged me. And so I decided that, okay, we'll give her a try. And it was an incredible provision. They allowed me to preach and get better at preaching. They allowed me to teach. They allowed me to lead. There was a two-point parish, so every morning I would drive across the Minnesota River Valley in this beautiful, spacious place and to this little town of Delhi where there was a little church of about 15 people that worshiped there on Sunday morning. And I just got to really grow with these guys and love them, and it was a wonderful experience. And near the end of that time, a woman from that little church in Delhi came to me and she said, I wanted to do this anonymously, but because of the way it works, she couldn't do it. So she said, She said, I'm giving you $10,000 to help you with seminary. And I was like, and I realized that God had stepped in, that God knew all along the provision that He was going to supply if I was willing to step into the role that He was leading me. And out of that, I learned something about God in that season, that with God, all things are possible, and that maybe I needed to raise my expectations about what God can do in our lives more in line with who God is. So that's the first thing we need to expect in our relationship with God, is that God invites us to be involved with Him. So if you're filling in the blanks, if you're a DC student, this is your easy notes this year, or this week. Fill in the blank with God. So Jesus reminds His followers that He and the Father want to have this intimate love relationship with His disciples, with all of us. And Jesus, He knew that He was about to depart from them. He knew that He was going to die in Jerusalem, that He would be buried, that He would be raised again, and He would go to be with the Father. So He came to them and He said this. He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And I think this passage underlines the point today that we want to talk about. God wants to be intimately involved with each one of us. You know, He says, the Holy Spirit, I will be with you forever. There's not a time when God is not present, not with us, not at work around us. And He reveals through our experiences with Him what it means to be in this love relationship with God. So we talk a lot about relationships with Jesus here at the Bethlehem Covenant Church. We talk about, knowing God personally. You know, in some ways, like, you know, I know Cheryl, my wife, you know, to know personally, or like you would know a friend. What does it mean to know God in a personal love relationship? You know, that sounds great, you know, but how does that happen? How do we really know God like that? Well, as we respond to God's invitation in our lives, we began to experience God in a very real way as he works through us. So let's begin with knowing and worshiping God as an experience. Psalm 10 talks about, it's our memory verse, it says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, will not forsake those who seek you." You know, there's a name in the Bible that talks about God as provider, and it was when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he took him up on the mountain, and he was just ready to do Isaac in as a sacrifice, and God stayed his hand, and he said, "No." He says, "I will provide the sacrifice." And there in a thicket was a ram caught, and that was the provision that God made for the sacrifice. See, Abraham was willing to follow God, but to understand that God would provide. And for me, you know, in that opportunity to follow God in Renville, I began to realize that God is our provision. God is my provision in a very real way. And out of that experience, I began to learn something about God. I began to trust that maybe God is bigger than I thought. That maybe if I'm willing to take a step with God of obedience, that God will provide what is needed. There's a passage in the Bible in the Psalms that says that God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so for Cheryl and I, we used to say, "God, it's time to sell a cow." And, you know, we began to realize that God is the one who provides. So now when we get into those kinds of situations again, I'm able to trust that God has a way. Or even as I lead, I begin to realize that God is faithful. If we as a church, if we as a people trust God and follow where God is leading us, that we know that God also has a way of making it happen, even when we don't see that outcome. So that experience of God helps us to better know who God is. And then we take that into worship. You know, as we worship, we recall the deeds of God in our lives. We recall the names of God in reverence and awe. You know, as we sing those songs, we lift up God's name in praise. And there's a deep sense that as we're doing that, we are in this relationship. We are calling on the name of the Lord our God and raising his name up with our voices. And we begin to experience this relationship of love as we worship. We sing to God and trust that as we do, we know that we are growing in that intimacy. We're not alone. God's not distant. Jesus reminds us that through his followers that they in fact know God as close as their very own heartbeat. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but sometimes it does feel like, where is God? God doesn't feel like he's there. Or maybe in worship it just seems kind of dry and it's not really happening. I don't know, you know, where is God? Did he forget to come this morning? But Jesus says, no, God, in fact, is as very near to you as your own heart. Just as you hear your heart beating, the voice of the Lord is with us. He says in verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." In other words, God is present in our very lives as believers. So the next way we experience God is as we love God, to love God. The Bible tells us in 1 John that simply God is love. Now we talked about this, you know, we talk about this often, in the church, that God is love, that God loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, we know those verses, we hear those verses, but to understand that God is love is to realize that God is always love. And God can never act against his very nature. So God is always loving toward us because that's who he is. Because that's God's nature. That's how God responds to us. God cannot not act in a loving way because that's not God. So when God calls us, when God invites us, when God invites us to obey his commands, he does it out of love for us because God knows all things and God knows what is best for us. And God provides the way that will allow us to live in that love relationship with him because that's who God is. So the Lord our God, we are called to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. We talked about this the other day, but you know, it sounds great, but what does it mean? You know, how do you love God that way? Jesus said very clearly in John 14:15, I think he lays it on the line here. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So to experience God in a relationship of love is to truly obey and trust God. You know, there's a quote from Henry Blackaby that, you know, it caught me off guard. It actually struck me as a little startling, and which is good to know that I can still be startled. Because, you know, when it comes to loving God, I want to think that I do this pretty good. You know, I think, you know, and I think you want to think as your pastor that, hey, that pastor, he loves God pretty good. So, but he says this, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. I'm going to say that one more time. He says, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. And I thought, An obedience problem isn't about breaking or not breaking the rules. It's about love. In Psalm 9:10, it says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Never have forsaken. They trust you. And at the heart of love is this deep trust in Jesus that God is for us, not against us. That in all God's ways, he loves us. And all God does is for our good. And when we begin to understand that and trust that and acknowledge that God is directing our paths, then we begin to love him. It goes kind of like this. If I believe God is love and all his ways are loving because God wants the best for me, then he has given me commands to live by and to guide my life for my good. And because God wants what's good for me, if I believe this is really true, then I can begin to trust it. And then if I trust it, I can begin to act on it. And I really, only then can I begin to walk in obedience because I really do trust God. You know, we can't act contrary to what we believe. You know, if we don't really believe God is love, it's going to be hard for us to trust God and then to walk out in his commands. But if we begin to truly believe God is love and begin to experience that love, then our response becomes one of faith, one of obedience. Jesus didn't just talk about love. In fact, he demonstrated it in very revealing ways. In John 14:30, he says, I will not stay much more with you, for the Prince of Peace is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn this, that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So Jesus walked in perfect obedience to his Father because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is love. Jesus showed us that love is demonstrated in obedience. He said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So we have a little list in the bulletin today, and it's a fill-in-the-blank. If you are a fill-in-the-blank kind of person, here's your opportunity, Joe. Here we go. Know God. Knowing God leads to loving God. And loving God leads to believing God. And believing God leads to trusting God. And then trusting God leads to obedience. So, you know, when we talk about, oh, you know, you got to obey the Ten Commandments, you just do them. Doesn't work that way, does it? Because how many of us really actually can just go out and obey the commandments? See, it's about a relationship of love, and it's a response to that relationship growing in us. Obedience comes out of that growing relationship of love. It comes full circle in John 14. Brooklyn had read this. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So God invites us into this love relationship with him. That's the first invitation. And to experience that relationship. And that relationship then reveals to us that God invites us to join him in his work. So how do we join God in his work? You know, how do we find out what God is doing? Have you ever been going along and thinking and looking back and go, "Oh, I should have done this. Oh, that must have been God's work. I should have said this." Or you were talking with someone and about the time you walked away, you had a thought in your mind, "Oh, I should have." Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me. But you know, God is at work around us, and God wants to reveal to us that work so that we can become participants in there. So we don't have to say, "I should have, I should have, I should have," but we can say in the moment that this, I believe, is how God wants me to join him in his work. I wanted to share a little story about the prophet Elisha. It's actually more about his servant who was with Elisha. And there was a king of Aram who was at war with Israel, and he was plotting his rampages into Israel and to do battles. But every time he went in to do battle, the Israel army was there. He couldn't sneak around them. He couldn't get anything by them. And finally, he was wondering, what's going on? Well, they realized that God was revealing to the prophet Elisha all the things that the king of Aram was planning to do so that the army of Israel could counter it. But in the midst of this, the king learned that. So when Elisha and his servant was in Dothan, a small town, the king of Aram sent all his forces and surrounded this town with his fighting men and chariots, and it looked like a hopeless situation, at least to the servant of Elisha. And I'm going to pick up in verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Strike this army with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked." So one of the things that we learn in this is that God always takes the initiative to allow us to see what he is doing. You know, apart from God, there's nothing we can do, but with God, all things are possible. The prophet says, "Don't be afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Elisha's servant and I walked out the door that morning, I'd be afraid. I'd see all these armies around there. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them," Elisha said. So as we cultivate this intimate relationship with God, we began to realize that God is inviting us into join him in his work, and that God opens our eyes in order to see this. And so Elisha prayed, and for the servant, his eyes were opened, and he saw the armies of God all around on the hillsides, and they were greater than the armies of Aram. So when God shows up and shows us what he is doing, this is our invitation to join God in his work. Those who are with us are more than those around us. I'm just going to fast forward, Cassidy, okay? But the way the story goes is Elijah then led the blind army into Samaria, where the Israel army was, and they surrendered to Israel. God revealed that he would that the king of Israel was to feed them and then send them home, and they no longer came and raided Israel. And so God defeated the army of Israel through Elijah without one drop of blood being shed. And so what is our expectation of God showing up? Do we expect God to do things and to include us in his work? You know, if I were the servant of Elisha, I don't think I'd go anywhere after that without my trusty fire extinguisher, with the fiery armies of the Lord all around. Sometimes we don't necessarily see what God is doing, but when we know God is at work and when he's calling us to step in, then we can trust that God has the provision, even when we don't see it. But the wonderful news is that God is always revealing his ways and his purposes to his people. And when he does, that is our invitation to step in and join God. So Cassidy, again, I'm just kind of fast-forwarding, so this is not Cassidy's fault if she's not up here with me. Going right to the end. The time to respond to God is the exact time that God reveals what he is doing. Is God showing you his work around you? How will you respond to God's invitation? I'm going to pray and invite us to respond as God reveals his work. So, Lord, thank you that just like for Elisha's servant, you, as you revealed the fiery chariots all around, the truth that Elisha knew, that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. Lord, that as you reveal these things to us, as you reveal your work around us, Lord, that we would see it as your invitation to join you in your work. And Lord, give us the courage, truly, Lord, the courage to respond and step in, that we might know you through the experience of obedience. Lord, if you are knocking on the heart of anyone here today, if you are revealing how you are at work, Lord, I pray that you would also show your great love, your great provision, and Lord, how you are inviting them into your work. And Lord, may they respond with a yes, Lord, here I am. Lord, for all of us as a church, yes, Lord, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name, amen.